1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and Luke chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and Luke chapter number 16, if you would please. Appreciate you so much coming out this evening, and appreciate attendance this morning, and appreciate your faithfulness. If you were in a position of service today, and had some new greeters at the front door, and we had some new junior church workers today, and I think we initiated some nursery workers, and so we had a whole bunch of good and fresh blood, and what a joy and opportunity it was to see them serve. We started a series this morning, and I will touch on it next Sunday night again and preach on it next Sunday night, and then preach again the last Sunday as we began to look at the beginning of the year on the thought and the biblical principle of stewardship. And I really believe as your pastor that one of the greatest things that I can preach about and one of the commandments that's given to me as far as God is concerned is to preach the whole counsel of God. And one of the greatest things we can do for our people and for ourselves spiritually is to understand biblical stewardship. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed of God. If you want to be blessed of God, say amen. One of the only way that I will be blessed of God is to be obedient to God. And so proper biblical understanding when it comes to the principle of stewardship is necessitated in our lives. God wants to bless us. God wants to enlarge us. God wants to use us. God wants to feed us with the finest of things and take care of us. And God desires to meet our every need. And so God desires for us to be a steward of all of his possessions. And so I think that many of God's people and many church people, we have kind of put a limit on how much God is using us because we don't fully understand the idea of stewardship. And I told you this morning that the devil has done a fantastic job, I believe, in disguising and in defining stewardship into a way that it's not meant supposed to be. He's got stewardship totally confined within the idea or the context of money. And so as soon as we think stewardship, we think of money. And we think, well, God wants us to give money, or the church wants money, or the preacher wants money, or so on and so forth. And not understanding that stewardship at its basic premise has not money as the lead dog. Money will follow as where it is, but stewardship deals with ownership. And we were clear about that this morning. And we said that if we're going to be proper stewards, we have to have proper understanding of ownership. Now, that's very difficult for the American mindset because we put ownership on such a high level. To us, ownership equals success. I mean, if you don't own your own home or own your own car or own your own business or own something, then really and truthfully, you don't have the same status in most people's eyes as an owner. There's an elitist position to being an owner of something. And so for the American mindset, where the American dream is you can own all that you have and, you know, you can be your own boss and you can do all of this, it's very difficult for the American mindset to understand biblical ownership. But the truth is that man owns nothing and God is the owner of everything. And if I'm going to have a proper understanding of stewardship and my life is going to be blessed and my home is going to be blessed and peace is going to be about me and peace is going to be upon my home, then I must understand that God is the owner of all that I have. We went quickly, just a brief review. We said that God is the owner of all the earth, owner of all the things that are in the earth. God is the owner of all the people that are in the earth. God is the owner of all the wealth that is in the earth. And God gets to be the owner because God created all that we have. And so I may own a business or I may own a home and I may be the temporary owner of those things in which God has entrusted to me, but we find that I'm not the owner of my money and I'm not the owner of my home, that God enables me to have these things. And so at the beginning of 09, I want you to have the proper mindset, and I want you to take examination of all that you have been entrusted with. Sit down, take you a piece of paper, and list everything from your house to your dog, from your bank account to your debts, to whatever you've been given in inheritance, and kind of list what God has entrusted you with. And then I want you to understand that to whom much is given, much is what? Required. So there's a requirement upon me, placed upon me by God. So I own a home not to just live in. I own a home that is to be stewarded for the glory of God. So whether you rent a little apartment or whether you own a big mansion, you need to step back in 09 and say, man, how is my apartment or how is my home being used for the glory of God? Is it open for fellowship? Is it open for lost people to come in? God, how do you want to get glory in my home? So I need to look at my job or my business, if I own a business. Well, I own this business because I believe in this product and I'm good at this product, and this business is helping to provide for my family. But my friend, that in itself is not the whole reason that God entrusted you with that business. It's so that that business can bring glory to God. Well, God, how do you want to get glory in my business? Well, I'll tell you this. If you'll ask him, he'll show you. And so I look at that. Then I need to look at my finances. Okay, God, you've entrusted me with finances. We're going to talk a little bit about that, because some people would say, well, God hasn't entrusted me with very many finances. But God, understand this. He said if we'd be faithful in the few things, he'd make us what? Faithful in many. And so there is a catch there. So if I have a bank account or a checking account or a savings account, or I've got a CD or I've got retirement or I've got all these things, nothing wrong with those things. Think you ought to have those things. Hope they're growing immensely. Hope you're drowning. You've got so much money. But you had better find you a quiet spot, sit yourself down, fall on your face before God and say, God, you have given me the power for this. This belongs to you. I am a steward of this. God, what do you want with your money? And God's people said, all right, so if I, it'll change your life. If you take your savings account and say, God, it's not mine, it's yours. What do you want me to do with it? It'll change your life. Well, preacher, do I got to give it all away? Well, he said, give and it shall be unto you. See, God's not looking to empty me of all I have. God's looking for increase. And when he gave those talents, we'll talk about this in a minute, and he gave those stewards responsibility, he wanted increase. The guy went and buried it in the ground. He said, at least you could have put it in the bank and got usury. So God wants to increase our ability to steward more of his resources. Let me ask you this. Do you think that God will ever run out of resources? No. So God can continually feed me resources to steward. That doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a big mansion. And I'm not saying all that. But I'll tell you what it will do. It will enlarge your ministry. It will build the peace of God in your life. And it will bring a joy to the Christian life. And so I understand that stewardship is reckoning that God is the owner. And then what God does is God takes me and makes me a manager of his resources. So now, if I'm the manager, oh boy, that's important. And there's responsibility, because the manager doesn't want to make the owner mad, and the manager is supposed to do what the owner wants, and there's a requirement there. And I don't know about this, but it is good to be a steward for the Lord. It's good to be in charge of all that investment and all of that money. And there's within that the meeting of my needs. And I'll give you a passage you study this week. You study Genesis chapter 24. If you want to know the joy of being a steward, you study Abraham's steward that went to find Isaac a wife, and he found Rebecca. How thrilled he was to be a steward of the Lord. So now God takes me. Same thing he did with Adam and Eve. He took Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, said, be a steward of the garden. Same thing he does. Jesus said he makes stewards. Paul says he makes stewards. A good biblical illustration of that would be Joseph. Joseph was a steward of Pharaoh's house, or Potiphar's house. And boy, Joseph so enjoyed the position of being a steward that Joseph wouldn't sleep with Potiphar's wife. Pretty much enjoying it. When she came, he said, listen, I'm the steward of this house. There's nothing greater in this house than me except the master. I am the steward of all that he has. How can I sin and do this great wickedness against my God? Well, my friend, there's nothing greater than being a steward of the resources of heaven. And that ought to spark within our heart great responsibility with great privilege. And it ought to thrill us so much that I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be curtailed. I want to be focused on what Jesus Christ has for me. And we talked this morning about that there is coming an accounting day. And so tonight, I want to talk and give you three things, characteristics of a faithful steward. And I want to talk about this stewardship. By the way, the word steward, so you know, means managing the affairs of somebody else. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writing here, he said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards, managers, facilitators of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Or you could write in that word where it says faithful, you could put trustworthy. Now the Apostle Paul loved the words faithful and trustworthy. If you were to go to Colossians 1 and 2, Colossians 1:7, he speaks about Epaphras being faithful. Titus in Colossians 4, Silvanus he calls a faithful brother in 1 Peter 5, Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother in Colossians 4, 1 Corinthians, he talks about Timothy being a faithful child. And so all during the course of the New Testament, while the Apostle Paul was there, he singled out men and women because they were faithful or trustworthy in what God had called them to do. And if you were to even go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, turn there if you would, I'll read you a verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20, Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace, be with thee. He tells Timothy, listen, in the busyness of life and in the busyness of ministry, never forget to faithfully guard that which God has entrusted to you. Be diligent and faithful and a worthy servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, God is asking you and God is demanding of you and God desires of you for you to be a faithful steward of what he has. So now, with that understanding, let's look back at 2008. Did you faithfully steward the resources that God has given to you? Well, Pastor, how would I even know where to begin? Well, let's begin in the area of ministry. Let's begin in the area of our finances, of our homes. I mean, can I look back and I can say, listen, this is where I was able to use what God had given me for the glory of the Lord. Pastor, I was able to take this amount of money or this such of money and God showed this need and so we did this. Or I used my home for this. Or I used my automobile to bring people to the church. Or I did this. Did I steward what God had given to me? Was I faithful at it? Was I trustworthy? And so God desires for us to be trustworthy. Go to Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to give you these things. In Luke chapter 16, we find the Lord Jesus telling the story about an unfaithful steward. And we find this unfaithful steward who is being called into account from his master, and he hasn't done a proper job, and he's been unfaithful. But in verse number 10, verse number 11, and verse number 12, the Lord Jesus gives us some characteristics of a faithful steward. And so you write these down and we'll be able to check ourselves along the way. Number one characteristic, faithful stewards are faithful in little things. Little things. Look at verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is, say it church, least, is faithful also in much. Faithful in little things. Somebody said this. They said life is made up of little things. Big things are the sum total of a lot of little things along the way. I have found this, that my faith is not normally tested to the degree with big things as it is with little things. It seems like life's little things come about and give us the most trouble. But our faithfulness will be tested according to the Lord Jesus as stewards, in that we are faithful in little things. I got some things down on my paper that I thought. Number one, I said, if you're a preacher and you're not prepared to preach to 10, you'll never preach to 100. Pretty interesting. I put this down. If you're not willing to work for minimum wage at McDonald's and be trustworthy at it, then you'll never be trusted to work for a major corporation. You find people that they're not trustworthy in the littlest of jobs. They don't do a good job. They cheat, or they slack off, or they do these things. Those people are never going to be trusted with bigger jobs. I put this down. If you're not trustworthy to write a tithe check from $20, you'll never write one from $200. Never write one from $200. You see, God said if you're not faithful in little things, it won't be faithful in many things. Sometimes I meet somebody and they're like, Pastor, when my ship comes in, this church is going to be taken care of. Let me tell you something. None of us have a ship big enough to take care of our church. Only Jesus Christ takes care of our church. But that mindset is so void of biblical truth. Well, Pastor, when I get all my bills paid, then I'm going to be able to tithe. Pastor, when I get to this one plateau, I just got one more peak, and when I get to that one position, buddy, I'm going to funnel those monies back to you. My friend, if you won't tithe off of $10, you'll never be trusted to tithe off of $1 million. Now, here comes a little stickler, and you may not agree with the preacher on this statement, but I believe this to be true. I believe this, according to the Bible, and especially according to James, when it talks about chastening. If you make, a person makes money hand over fist, and their wealth is just exuberant, and they don't tithe, I believe, based on what the Lord Jesus said, if you don't tithe and you make that kind of wealth and there's no conviction in your heart, I question whether or not you're truly born again. You see, because he said, whom he loves, he does what? Chastens. And if he doesn't chasten me, then I'm not a son, I'm a bastard. Malachi, he said, if I don't, then the devourer will come. My friend, if you can point your finger in the face of God and say, listen, look at all my wealth I have and I don't tithe, then I question whether or not you're born again. Because as a born again believer, if I don't tithe, then the Lord Jesus comes knocking on my heart. I don't know about you, but that's what he does. See, if I'm not faithful in the small things, then I'll never be faithful in those. Let's bring it real physical, or real practical. If you're not faithful to care for even the physical things that you have, like your car or your house, if I'm not faithful to be a good steward of those, then I may never be trusted with much. And so it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. Matter of fact, if you were to go to Matthew chapter 25, don't turn there, but you have those two, the parable of the talents. And the two servants that were rewarded, they were successful stewards. They were put in charge of more than they previously had. And so, Pastor, I want to grow this year financially. Then steward, be a proper steward of what you have now. Pastor, I want to grow in my business. Then be a good steward in your business now and let God grow that thing. Because God's not going to bring us the much if we're not faithful in the little bit. By the way, let me say this. Little things have no headlines. Little things have no headlines. What do you mean by that, preacher? Here's what I mean by that. Now, if you're looking for human recognition, then you won't care about little things. But I promise you that there's not one little thing that the Lord Jesus doesn't see. You say, Pastor, what does he see? He sees and he knows when you are obedient or when you're disobedient. I remember times in my life, and I've told you stories about this before, when I didn't know how we were gonna make it. But it was offering time and it was time to tithe, and I put that tithe in, and I said, God, if you don't do something, we're not gonna do it. I can remember times coming on Wednesday night and taking a love offering and God saying, Tom, give what you got. And God, that's all I got, give what you got, and put that in the offering. And nobody would know about it, nobody would see it, but it was recorded in heaven. And I'll tell you what, God always, always, always met my need in those times. And so listen, If you're faithful, because I believe we have a faithful church, if you're faithful in the little things right now and nobody sees it and the preacher doesn't reward you and nobody proclaims it and there's no fanfare over that, understand this, heaven sees it and God will bless you for that. And continue, don't quit. It's about your attitude. Faithful stewards are faithful whether the task is great or whether it's small. I've got this written down. Many Christians don't get to experience the enjoyment of big things in life because they can't be trusted with them. I don't know about you, but I want to be trusted by God. I know that in my human nature that he could never trust me in totality, but I want to be a good steward and recognize his ownership and God enlarge me. People wonder why they don't have a big job or a big salary or why their ship doesn't come in, and they wonder why they're always stuck in something that's there. Most of that time is because they haven't been faithful in the little things. The little things of life. He said in Luke chapter 16, verse number 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. A characteristic of a faithful steward is he's faithful in little things. I ask you tonight, think about your life. Are you faithful in little things? Little things. Well, preacher, what would little things be? Well, little areas of obedience, Bible reading, prayer. Do we tithe? Do we witness Christ? You see, those are all characteristics. Number two, and I don't want to keep you long. Number two, not only are they faithful in little things, but faithful stewards are faithful in managing money. Managing money. Go to verse number 11. Jesus does a couple things here that are just outstanding. In verse number 11, Jesus says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the worldly mammon, that word mammon there is money, it's wealth. Notice how the Lord Jesus declares it unrighteous. It's not that money is wicked. It's just that money in itself is not wicked. It's not good. How we use it is important. But Jesus calls it unrighteous mammon. And then he declares it not to be what at the end of verse number 11? It's not what? True riches. You see, the wealth of this world is not true riches. How many people have been snared by this? How many people are being snared by this? Can I please even go one step further? How many of born again, God loving Christian church-going people do not understand that the world's money is not to be considered true riches? Oh, we've pierced ourselves through going after that. He said this, understand if you've not, but he draws a parallel here. He says, if you've not been faithful in the world's money, if you've not been a good manager of money, then I'm not going to entrust true riches to you. I want to stop and I want to say a couple of words that I think practically will help us. I'm your pastor, and so I'm going to say it, and you can love me or you can love me. That's all you get to do. No multiple choice. Our finances ought not be a mess. Bible-believing, born-again, children of God, our finances are to be managed well and they ought not to be a mess. Now, I understand if I read the statistics and if everybody was to know everybody's personal life, many of the people that come into this church, many of the people that come into other churches, God's people's finances are just out of whack. And yet we long, we want to be have more. But God looks at the unrighteous mammon that he has entrusted us with, the world's money that's been entrusted with this, and he says, listen, you haven't managed that money properly. I'm not going to allow you to have more. You're not doing a good job with what we have. I read in the Bible that our God is a God of order. Our God is not a God of confusion. Our God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of order. And in being a God of order, our finances ought to be ordered. If I'm going to be a faithful steward of that, it's important. Preacher, are your finances perfect? No. Do you have debt? Yeah. Do you have some of those things? Yeah. But I've been convicted about that in my own heart, and I'm going to share that with you guys. I think we need spending plans. You ought to have a spending plan. You ought to have a spending plan. You ought to have a set down, ordered out thing of what you are going to do with whose money? Whose money? Anybody in here work with purchase orders? Anybody work with purchase orders? Okay. What's a purchase order do? A purchase order allows the employee to spend the owner's money. The owner may say, "Tom, you're in charge of this set of our building or this set of our business. It's worth about $6 million, and I want you to go out there and get clients. But Tom, if you need something and you buy something, I want you to go and I want you to fill out a purchase order." Now, human nature hates purchase orders. Sometimes you take a guy that's had free spending, you put purchase order on him, and oh, they just buck up at that and they don't want it. They just want the freedom to make their own decision and they don't want accountability. But the owner demands accountability, and the owner demands that, and so the owner says, I want you to use a purchase order. Well, my friend, we ought to have a purchase order when it comes to God's finances. If God owns all the money in the world and God owns all my silver and all my gold, then God ought to have input and direction as to how I spend God's money. Okay? So if I don't have a spending plan, then where am I going on my own? Proverbs 3:5-6 said, "Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him." And so here, most of us, we get paid and we get this, and then we just go out the door, and whatever we want, we do, and whatever we think, we do. And so we just lay it all out. And most of it's all on our wants. It's not that we don't tithe. You're tithing people. We did great financially this year. We're mission giving people. But God doesn't just own that 10% and want the offering. God owns all of our finances. And so if I'm going to be a faithful steward, I've got to manage money well. And God gives me that money. And so I better be involved. And what do you want, God? And so then I take out some paper and I begin to do this. Our finances ought to be in order. I go as far as to say a couple of things like this. Be careful running into credit card debt. If our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, then I'm not necessarily sure that we need Visa. I know it's quiet, but if you sat in my office, you would know why I preach this message. God's children's finances ought to be important. Let me talk to the older people of our church. Please don't leave your children strapped with debt. Get your house in order. Man, if you're an older person and you got all this, you need to get your house in order. If you're a younger person starting out, you better understand that God's a God of order. And so I am never going to have or be entrusted with more if I can't manage what I do have. And so in our church, and I fell on my face before God. I said, "God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I have been wicked." And so I've even put this together in my own life. Look at verse number 11. "If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And so we need to examine our finances. We need to examine what we're doing. First thing I would do if my finances were in a mess is I'd fall on my face and I'd ask God to forgive me. And then no matter what, I would tithe. Open the windows of heaven, pour me out a blessing. There's no way out of my mess without God opening up the blessing. "Well, Pastor, I got to pay my debts and then I can tithe." Understand this. God is our first creditor. God is due all we have. You tithe before you do anything, and God will open those windows of heaven and pour you out that blessing. "But Pastor, if I tithe, I'm going to lose my car. If I tithe, I'm going to lose my home." Yeah, but if I tithe, I'll have the obedience and the joy and the pleasure and the blessing of God Almighty. And I have seen God bring people automobiles because they were obedient in the tithe. And so we need to examine what we're doing. If we ended 08 in a mess, 09 ought to be better. "Well, preacher, the economy is real bad. The economy's real bad right now." If I could let you know something, there is no financial crisis in God's economy. Heaven's not broke. Heaven's not loaning money. Heaven's not needing a federal bailout. our God is very wealthy and he's able to care. I'm going to get off of that, but I'm going to tell you, the reason that God's not enlarging what we have is because we're not faithful with what we do have. You can hear me or not hear me. You can agree with me or not agree with me. But I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. Our finances ought to be ordered. Say, preacher, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'd begin with forgiveness. I'd tithe. And then I would find a way to put on paper an order system because God is a God of order. I would take that verse, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I'd go to God and I'd say, God, I'm good in Christ Jesus. I need order. So order my steps and my finances. I don't even know what to do. And watch God begin to work those out. How many believe that God can bring me out of debt? I believe he can. I believe he can. But he's not going to bless foolishness. He's not going to do that. And so he even says right there, and so being a faithful steward of what God has. Not only is faithful stewards faithful in little things, not only are they faithful in managing money, but they're faithful with other people's things. Look at verse number 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Preacher, what's he mean by that? He's saying if you're not faithful with other people's possessions, you're never going to be entrusted with your own. Everybody wants to own something and do their own thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand this, if I mistreat other people's things, I'll never have my own. How does that go? Well, I wrote some things down. If you want to own your own business someday, then you better be faithful in serving the business owner that employs you now. By the way, I don't know about this, but Christians ought to be the best employees that that business has. We ought to be the best employee that business has. We ought to treat their stuff right. We ought to be honest on the computer. We better be honest with the work phone. We better be honest with work vehicles. We better be honest in what we've been given. You want to own your own home one day? If you rent a home, then you better be a good steward of the home you rent right now. It ought not to be filthy. It ought not to be broken. It ought not to take advantage of those things. He said, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Powerful, powerful, powerful process. Faithful stewards. They're faithful in little things, little things. It's the little things that reveal the character and integrity. They're faithful in how they manage money. And you say, well, preacher, you have to have money to manage money. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're never going to have it if you're not managing it. Well, I don't care where you are, what God gives you, there's be management there. And then a faithful steward understands, if I want to be blessed one day and I want that to be enlarged and I want to own some things and I want to have a home, or I want to have a car, or I want to have a good job, then I better be faithful in the other men that I serve for right now. Remember this. Remember this. We want what we want. And we want it really fast. But we will never have it without the initial step of obedience. Somewhere I've got to stop and I've got to say, wait a minute. I got to position myself where I can be obedient. And it may take some time to get to those things. And I may need to make some sacrifices. And I may need to change my life. But God, I got to start here and be obedient. And then I'm going to let you direct me for that. Moreover, brethren, it's required in a steward that a man to be found to be faithful or to be trustworthy. Now listen, I want 09 to be a trustworthy year for us. I believe Brother Jay's right. I believe God's getting ready to do something great, not only with our church, but in our church. I do believe that God is going to protect us, and God's going to keep his word, and God's going to and use us in our individual lives. He's going to use us together corporately. I do believe, and we've already seen testimony, how God's provided financially and how God's done some other things. But there must be a trustworthiness about me that only comes from obedience. And God's people said, all right, preacher, I don't like that. You may not like it, but it is the eternal word of God, and it will bless you, and it will help you in this coming year. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, Moreover, it's required in a man that a man be found, a steward, that a man be found faithful, trustworthy. God, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I know that in human nature, there's not an ounce of trustworthiness to me. But I don't have the human nature as the lead anymore. I've been born again. I've got a new name, a new nature, a new power, a new joy, a new delight, a new heart, a new mind. And so, God, I'm in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Without him I can do nothing, but with him I can do all things. And so, God, you're just loaded with resources. You own everything. And you're constantly looking for stewards, men and women that you could entrust with more. And oh, what a joy and a blessing it is to be a steward for you. But God, if I'm going to be faithful in much, it begins with being faithful in the little things. Like the tithe, like my time, like my talents, faithful in the little things that I own, like my little car or my home or, God, just little things that come about in my life. Oh, if I can be trusted with them, then I can be trusted with more. And God, I better know how to manage money. If I'm all messed up in money right now, then you're not going to entrust me with your money, your riches, and not expound that and expand that. So, God, I do pray for the people. I pray, God, that we'd be right in our finances and that we would be ordered and we would be obedient there. God, then with other people's stuff, it begins there. And so, God, we would be good employees if we want to be business owners, and we would take care of homes if we want to own a home. We'd take care of vehicles if we want to. It just how we treat other people's stuff is important. God said, good night. If you can't do a good job with that, I ain't going to give you anything else. So, God, good practical teaching tonight. I pray, God, that you would speak to our heart. I pray, God, that you would convict us where we need to be convicted. And I pray, God, that you would lead us where we need to be led. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't preach it. I love the people, and I want us to know. I want us to be blessed by you. So take it and use it, I pray. Thank you for your great word. Oh God, though all hell come against me, it will not shake the eternal word of God. And so I love you for that, and I thank you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.